massive coverage of social media following the awful Grok nudification of women and of children. Reports that literally millions of images were created of women where they were undressed or put in sexual positions before it was made something that only those who pay for the pleasure can do. Meanwhile, Australia is leading the world with a social media ban under the age of 16. With us is Adrian Weckler, who is tech editor with the Irish and Sunday Independent and, of course, presenter of the Big Tech Show podcast. To what extent, Adrian, is this trying to hold back the tide? Or should we just surrender ourselves to the fact that the reality will be social media in all of our lives henceforth and there is nothing we can do?
I think that is probably a reality, yes. That said, that doesn't mean that there aren't huge problems, huge fault lines, disinformation, regulatory issues, and maybe even in some cases, criminal issues. Like there's a case going on in the States at the moment that everybody's watching, especially in the social media industry, where the main social media giants, their CEOs will have to testify on a case from a 19-year-old girl who says that she has been addicted to social media for more than a decade and that her use of those platforms caused anxiety and depression and body dysmorphia. And in the States, that's the way they're dealing with it. That case is reminiscent of the big tobacco cases of a few decades ago. Over here, we try and regulate it. We know that the Americans don't like that we try to regulate it over here. So it's a very confused situation. We're all trying to figure out what the rules are here. But as for your question of will people continue to use it, absolutely. There is no question about that.
Now, what are you finding from the tech giants? Because there was a period before the Trump administration where a lot of lip service was paid. Facebook had a number of people in the Irish operation dedicated to scraping through content and trying to find that which was offensive or inappropriate. Twitter had appeals processes and regular bans and suspensions for abuse and all the rest of it. Are they still giving any responsibility? Are they still taking any responsibility for any of the content, or are they only now guided by what's legal or illegal?
Well, they're mainly guided by what's legal or illegal. That's their main operating premise. In fact, they tout that as a virtue. Because in this kind of Trump era of, you know, maximal free speech, which by the way is kind of designed, it's kind of a convenient thing, which is kind of designed to favor one side of the political debate. But anyway, that's another question. The social media giants do default to what's legal or illegal. They do incrementally introduce extra controls. For example, TikTok and Snapchat in recent weeks have both introduced sort of gradual new controls for parents. YouTube has done something similar. Instagram periodically does something similar. They're kind of tweaking the controls that they say that parents can do within family accounts. The issue there, of course, is that we don't know what the percentage is, but we know that there's a huge number of kids who are on all of these social media platforms before the legal age of 13. And the controls that the social media companies have are pathetic. I mean, they're basically just nominal. You just have to tick a box to say that you're 13. Also, to be fair to the social media giants, it is the parents who give the kids the smartphones and in many cases who help set them up on Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat or YouTube. So it's quite difficult to draw moral and ethical lines here, because we're kind of, in one way, we're all in on it, in that we do all participate in this. We all want to use social media. Most of us enjoy using social media. That's not my sort of preference talking here. That's just a statistical fact. 80% of people in Ireland plus use social media, and most of us use it every day. So trying to figure out who is to blame and what the rules should be, we're still trying to figure that out among ourselves.
What then has been the Australian experience? Because as soon as it was announced that they were going to do it, one cohort said this is wonderful, and another said, sure, what's the point of that? The kids will just find a way around it. So now that it's in, what's happening?
Now that it's in, what's happened is that so far, at least one of the social media giants, I believe it's Meta, said that they did notice a smaller number of accounts attributed to those under the age of 16. However, most surveys and most polls that I've seen conducted after the introduction of that social media ban for under 16s in Australia suggest that neither the kids nor the parents have any intention of really abiding by it. That kids, 14 and 15 year old kids are just, they're either using VPNs, virtual private networks, to hide their geographic identity when they're setting up accounts, or they didn't register truthfully in the first place and they're just carrying on. So the evidence so far shows that it's having a limited effect. Now, what the Australian government says is, well, look, we know that it can't be perfect, and perfect is the enemy of good, of doing something. So that's their argument. Look, we're just trying to do something here. But ultimately, this comes back to the families themselves and the parents. And if the parents do not feel outraged or do not feel that social media use of their kids is a real risk to them, then they're going to continue to allow their kids to use social media, and that's just the way it is.
Well, can I ask on that, given your analogy at the start, where you talked about the lawsuit in the state being similar to the kind of initial lawsuits that happened against Big Tobacco, when we realised the damage that was being done by tobacco, we didn't say, well, it is the parents' jobs to inculcate a hatred of cigarettes in the kids. We moved in terms of advertising, in terms of regulation, in terms of sale, in terms of taxation, to try to drive it out of society. Should we be doing the same with the more corrosive ends of social media?
We should, if we believe that social media is analogous to Big Tobacco and to cigarettes. I don't think we believe that. I think that most people view, Big Tobacco as a different thing. They view tobacco, they view drugs, they view social media. These are all problems and issues with their own very sort of complex set of issues in our lives, and I think we treat them all very differently. I think it's sort of simplistic, and it kind of insults the intelligence of people to suggest that, 20 Rothmans or 20 Carols is the same as looking at an Instagram post. There are harms potentially associated to, but well, they're not potentially, there are harms with tobacco. There are potential harms with Instagram. But I don't think that equating one to the other, I've never seen a convincing argument that, equates one to the other. I mean, like,
what about if you take Cambridge Analytica and beyond in the 2016 election, if you take the analysis into what happened with Russian interference in relation to Brexit, if you take what Sophie Wynne-Williams wrote Sarah Wynne-Williams wrote in her book in respect of what happened with Myanmar and the subjugation of huge amounts of the population and deaths thanks to inactivity and misinformation on those social media sites, it isn't as pervasive as Rothman's. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, and that's an argument you could make for not just what happened in Myanmar. You could make that argument in Europe today with social media, with platforms like X. I mean, you could draw, maybe it's anecdotal, but you could make an argument to link the rise of extreme polarization in Europe, the rise of extreme parties, lack of faith, lack of trust in mainstream politics, in mainstream society even, through the polarized, the algorithmic boosting of extreme voices and extreme commentary on social media, and that is a reason, and a very good reason, for regulation in the EU. But we're not fully comfortable ourselves in terms of what we really think about that. If you look, for example, at the hate speech bill, we had a solid plan in Ireland to bring in legislation that would put boundaries and fencing around what you could, the kind of stuff that you could spread online. And we had a debate ourselves about it, and we decided that we were uncomfortable enough with that bill for it not to go forward. It's not easy. It's not simple. These are things we're still trying to figure out ourselves. I interviewed the the founder of Wikipedia, Jimmy Wales, a few weeks ago. And I had this very argument with him. It actually got quite heated. He's more of a free speech maximalist like Elon Musk. Now, he's not on the same political spectrum as Elon Musk, but he has that American thing of speech. You know, if there is bad speech, you can solve it with other speech. And my point was, well, what you're basically saying is that Elon Musk is a better arbiter through his social media platforms of leveling hate speech in society than the EU. And he took sort of exception to that. But that's basically what he was saying. So there is a huge problem. And it's not that we should sit back and not acknowledge that. But to start, you know, to try and neatly fitting it into the same issue as, say, tobacco or drugs, it's kind of problematic. I mean, you know, as is the label of addiction, for example. I mean, that's kind of it's a difficult label to smack on it. There are places in Ireland that you can go for what we might colloquially call social media addiction. I know John of God's has, it has a treatment for what they call, I think they call it internet disorder, internet use disorder. And there are one or two others. But when you're not talking about chemical dependency, when you're not talking about people losing their houses because of their addiction, that's not to say that it can't be, you know, labeled as problematic or even compulsive, but it's just slightly different.
And I wonder, do we yet have developed the tools to both handle the language around it and the regulation of it? Adrian, very interesting. Thank you very much. Adrian Weckler, technology editor, Irish and Sunday Independent, and presenter of the Big Tech Show podcast.